Hey, Shavua Tov. Hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Shabbat. We are on day 10. What are your priorities? What an important question to ask during this period of time. And the answer to that question can be found in a beautiful idea that I shared in the chapter from the Parsha that we read just this morning, Parshat Ki Teitzei, where the Torah prohibits the Jewish people from accepting a Moabite or Ammonite convert. Lo yavo amoni o moavi beYisrael. You're not allowed, the Torah says in this week's Parsha, just what we read this morning, to accept any converts from the Ammonite or Moabite tribes. None of these tribes exist any longer. But why? What was the reason we're not allowed to accept converts from these two peoples? And the Torah gives two reasons. First, the Torah says, because they didn't greet you with bread and water when you came out of Egypt. The Jewish people had to pass through their territories in the wilderness, and they didn't greet us with bread and water. And after hundreds of years of slavery, when the Jewish people, as I'm saying, were passing through their areas, they failed basically to greet us with some food and provisions. Now, the Torah gives a second reason, which is they hired Bilaam to curse you. Bilaam, if you remember, was the non-Jewish prophet who had this incredible prophetic powers that even rivaled Moses' powers of prophecy, but he basically sold out his great spiritual gift to curse the Jewish people, and the Moabites were the ones who paid him to do so. Now, it's a little strange if you think about these two reasons. The first reason doesn't really seem to justify, you know, not allowing converts from these nations, the Ammonites and the Moabites, right? It's not a good thing, of course, to abstain from helping people, you know, especially if they're passing through their territory, and especially like the Jewish people were just slaves. We were downtrodden people. But you could also say that it's a big deal to feed an entire nation, right? Millions of recently freed slaves, maybe the Ammonites and the Moabites, just didn't have the resources to be able to do so. Or even if they did, you know, withholding bread and water doesn't seem to be enough of a crime, you know, to justify this penalty. Okay, all right, so maybe you don't have to be buddies with them, but never to accept converts from their nations. And here's the other problem. It seems so out of whack compared to the second reason that the Torah gives, that they hired Bilaam to actively curse the Jewish people with destruction. I mean, not giving bread and water doesn't seem so bad compared to that. If cursing the Jews is so much worse than not providing with, you know, food and water, then why does the Torah even need to list both reasons? It's like, you know, I said this in the chapter, it's like saying someone should go to jail for running a red light and also for committing murder. I mean, if a person, God forbid, committed murder, you don't have to say that they read a red light. One infraction is so much worse than the other. Why even mention the red light? So what does the Torah need to tell us both reasons? That they weren't hospitable, which was kind of like a passive minor infraction, and cursing, which is an active kind of desire to harm the Jewish people. And the Dubna Magid, great Hasidic master of the 18th century, suggests that it's really only one reason. Because when the Torah comes to inform us of the first reason, what was the first reason? That Ammon and Moab, these two tribes, didn't come out with food and drink, right? So maybe you can give them the benefit of the doubt and say, they didn't have the financial resources, you know, to feed an entire nation. But when the Torah comes along with the second reason, which is what? They hired Bilaam to curse the Jews. Then we know they actually had those resources to help. We know how much money they were prepared to give Bilaam, basically, to curse the Jews. Ammon and Moab paid him a huge sum of money. They basically gave him a blank check and said, fill it in. Whatever it is you need, we need you to do this. So what the Torah is teaching is saying that they did have the resources. They just chose to use it in a destructive way. And this is a very important teaching. We have to decide how we're going to best use our precious resources. We always say, I don't have enough time. Now, the truth is, we do have enough time, but we're doing other silly things that are probably wasting our time. Or we say we don't have enough money to help this person. Well, maybe we have some money to help this person, but because we're not maybe allocating our monies properly or our time as wisely as we should, or even our emotional energy, how are we going to direct our scarce resources? That's really the question that we need to think about this month. Are we going to use them to bring other people down, like Ammon and Moab? Or are we going to use our blessings and our money and our time to elevate the people around us? Because no matter how much money or free time we have, there's always going to be a limit, right? We're always going to be able to say, I don't have any more. I don't have any more time. I don't have any more money. But now's the time to think, How can I free up some time to do what I really need to do? Whatever that is, whether it's more mitzvot, it's more Torah, it's healthier living, what can I cut out of my schedule that will give me time to do what's more important? And maybe what can I cut out of my spending that will allow me at least to give a little more to tzedakah, to charity, to help people that are downtrodden, like our ancestors were when they got out of Egypt after being slaves for so long? Elul is the time to get our priorities aligned with our beliefs so that we can spend the time that we need in life, not just now, but always. What are our priorities? Let's line them up. Shavua Tov, my friends.